Moving on to some old technology that could get a new life thanks to budget pressures at the Pentagon, the Air Force says it wants to scale back funding for a high-tech surveillance drone because it's too expensive. Instead, as NPR's Larry Abramson tells us, the Air Force is turning to a manned aircraft designed in the early days of the Cold War, the U-2 spy plane.
Many Americans didn't know much about the U-2 until one of them crashed in the Soviet Union on May Day 1960.
America officially admits extensive flights over and around Russia by unarmed planes during the last 5 years.
The pilot of that plane, Francis Gary Powers, spent nearly 2 years in Soviet prisons before he was released. His unique plane was a daring attempt to solve a critical intelligence problem. The U.S. desperately needed to know more about the Soviet military. Douglas Lantry of the National Museum of the Air Force says the U.S. wanted to take pictures of its chief adversary without getting caught.
And the only way to do that without getting shot down was to have a very, very high altitude, high performance aircraft that could fly higher than any fighters or missiles that the Soviets had and take pictures and bring them back.
The U-2 flew at over 70,000 feet, beyond the reach of fighter planes and missiles. That was the idea, anyway. To fly that high, Lantry says, Lockheed had to combine two technologies in one.
Really, what it amounts to is a sailplane with a jet engine in it.
The U-2's long, glider-like wings help it soar in thin air, and it has a powerful, efficient jet engine that allows it to go on long surveillance flights. This combination of power and elegant wing design allows the U-2 to operate at the edge of space. Pilots get a cool view from a very uncomfortable perch. Here at Beale Air Force Base in Northern California, U-2 pilots have to breathe pure oxygen for an hour before they can fly. That's to prevent the bends from the extreme pressure change. And they have to wear a full spacesuit. More than 50 years after this ritual started, Sergeant Carl Mulecki helps pilots into the suit that they will wear for as long as 9 hours.
And you'll see when she puts the helmet on there, that's the last time she can really scratch any part of her body.
If the plane's cockpit were to depressurize, that suit would keep the pilot's blood from boiling because of the extreme altitude. But to see just how quirky this plane is, watch it land. Veteran pilot Lieutenant Colonel Steve Rodriguez says those long wings really want to stay airborne.
This thing loves to fly. I mean, it does. It's a great airplane, though. I mean, like I said, it's a very elegant design.
Rodriguez runs the training mission for the U-2 here at Beale. He says bringing this plane down requires help from another vehicle, a chase car. As the pilot comes in for a landing, Colonel Rodriguez pulls onto the tarmac in a little Pontiac G8. He hauls down the runway at 90 miles an hour right behind the jet.
Driver 10-8.
Every time a U-2 lands, a driver follows along in high-speed pursuit, calling out the plane's altitude on the radio. The pilot can't see the ground too well, and this assist helps him land the plane on the U-2's skinny landing gear.
4-3, tailwind, hold on.
There we go, skipping back into the air, get the yoke aft.
The pilot rides the plane like a bronco, forcing it to land. The U-2 touches down and hops right back into the air. This pilot is auditioning for a spot on the U-2 team, and Colonel Rodriguez is watching for any mistakes.
Wing control, not too bad. A little low on the left. That's where we have those titanium skids out there.
Titanium protectors allow the U-2's long, floppy wings to scrape the runway without doing any damage. That's part of the original design. At age 57, the U-2 still looks like an experimental plane, but it has stayed current by adapting. Historian Douglas Lantry says the U-2's wings were made even longer, and it got a much more powerful, more reliable engine.
And, of course, there's all the new sensor pods and things hanging off the front and the middle and the back and the wings and so on, so an awful lot of changes. But still, I think, basically, you could say it's the same machine. It's just better.
The great irony is that here at Beale Air Force Base, the U-2 lives right next door to its high-tech competitor, the Global Hawk, a sleek, remotely piloted vehicle which the Air Force has decided is too expensive. The U-2 can do almost the same job for less. Colonel Steve Rodriguez, who trains pilots for both aircraft, gets all diplomatic when asked which plane he prefers.
I will agree with the Air Force position on that one. So we will take what it is that we're given and operate it to the best of our ability.
If this sounds like a David versus Goliath story, old tech beating new tech, it's not that simple. Drones like the Global Hawk are here to stay and will be flying other missions. The real story here is that the U-2, a historic plane that hangs from the ceiling of the Smithsonian, is still flying and still relevant. Larry Abramson, NPR News.